Forsaken, and I stand on that word. So we love you this morning. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Lord, take your seat.
Thank you.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19.
Glory.
Glad to see all y'all made it out through the time change. Mother Nature stole an hour from us. We was all joyful back in the winter when we gained an hour, but now we had to give it back. I know we all seen what happened in Japan. It's a rough thing, and those of you who are Bible people, you know, I think as Christians and maybe Bible history people, we kind of, it don't really shock us like it used to shock us. We understand and we know that this is what's, you know, in the Word, that times like these are coming, and I say, Lord, I don't know what's separating us from the people it's happening to, and I thank God it never happened in Cleveland or nothing like that, but it just, we understand that. I think it's in, you don't have to turn, but I think it's in the book of Matthew 24, verse 7 says, for nations shall rise against nations, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, and pestilences, and earthquakes in diverse places. We know that, we once thought if something like that would ever hit the United States, we'd bounce back real quick. Then we saw Katrina. And we see that we didn't bounce back as probably as fast as we thought we could, and we blamed it on a lot of people, but we see what's at hand, and I think it's just an urgency for us to really get our lives lined up. I was talking to a young kid, he was like 20, 22, and when the thing happened in Japan, he came up to me and said, you know, I just don't think I got much time left. He said, all this stuff happening, the end of the world looks so close, I don't know if I got time. And I said, well, take the time you got and get right with God. So eternity time can be all that you desire it to be. So we just have to use situations like that as, you know, it's a serious time for us. And thank God that, you know, for those that he spared, and we pray for those that lost their lives in that season. Amen?
Amen.
All the way to work. That's why you don't complain. The night before, I'm complaining about how bad the snow is. And I gotta drive in the snow and do all this. And then you wake up, you get to work, and you see that. And I'm like, Lord, forgive me, I'll take the snow over a tsunami any day. I'm like, whoo, Lord Jesus, forgive my complaining tongue. Lord. All right. How y'all doing today?
Great.
Y'all all right?
Yes.
Okay. We got a rule. You mess with me, you mess with you. We got a rule. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11 and 12. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11 and 12. It says, and he said, go forth and stand that he is an angel of the Lord. Early in the chapter, he went to Elijah. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in an earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. I just want to talk to us this morning and encourage us from the title of, you are not forsaken. You are not forsaken. So we're going to pray. But before we pray, I want you to repeat after me, only if you will. Lord,
Lord,
I receive
the word.
And instruction,
and I will apply it
to my life.
Amen.
Now you are accountable. Let's pray. Father, we love you and praise you. We asking for your anointing to be in this place, Lord. I know in my own life I got many storms, many earthquakes, many fires, Lord. But through this word, You have allowed me to see why they're in my life. I pray, Lord, as a people, our hearts to be able to receive and grow and mature. Look at you from the place that you would have us to see you move in our life and not allow the enemy to take your will and twist it to make us feel we are forsaken. Now, Lord, remove me and fall your Holy Spirit upon me. Fill me, Lord. Saturate me in your anointing. Say everything that you would have me to say and remove everything that's not your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I know that was a little pastor trickery. I really want us to grow from the message. I think it, you know, here we teach, you know, we look at things from different views, different angles, try to really get why God's will is in our life. All right. Before I start, there was a pastor friend of mine, whose cousin is a pastor in Cleveland, and he had a mini stroke in the pulpit. And I said, Lord, I don't understand that. That you have to talk to me. I mean, there's been many times through sickness and anxiety, I thought I was going to fall out in the pulpit. And I said, Lord, I just don't get it. And a lot of times I say, well, the devil is a lie. You know, the enemy just messing with God's people. But I have to sit back and understand the word. God did allow it to happen. So I'm like, Lord, why did you allow that to happen? And we're supposed to learn and grow. We're supposed to mature. Some things you just don't understand. And you have to stand through, because that one I just didn't get. I mean, my heart went out to him. I couldn't imagine having a stroke in the pulpit. So I just want us to appreciate our own storms, our own trials and tribulations. Now, if y'all like me, y'all been going through some stuff. So let's talk about it. The Bible says in Psalms 37:25, and we all know the scripture, I was young, and now I'm old, but I never seen the righteous forsaken or the seed begging for bread. And I agree with that. Well, what is the righteous? I'm not going to mess with you too much on that. Just a little bit. What is the righteous? What is the righteous? Matthew 5:6 says in the Beatitudes, blessed is the man that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Righteousness is Christ-like character. So the righteous is a person that will carry Christ-like character. Okay? Yeah. Are you righteous? Do you carry Christ-like character? You know how you K through 12. You start in kindergarten, you graduate in 12th grade. Well, when I was going through school, they threw what was called to me a unfair curveball, which was the OGT test. That was for us, the Ohio graduate test, and it came in math, science, history, reading, and writing. 5 sections. Now, me, I'm not the greatest math person in the world. Some of you are, I understand that. But me, math was just not my forte. Now, the way the OGT test worked was, it didn't matter if you had all your credits for high school. It didn't matter if you was prepared and ready to graduate. If you didn't pass the OGT test, you didn't graduate. But it didn't mean you could pass a couple and graduate. You had to pass each one. Now, so here we are, I take the reading, writing, history, and science, pass all of those. Get to the math, fail. Fail like 4 times. Don't laugh at me. I failed like 4 times. So I was so ready to leave math behind. I was like, look, I've been in school from K through 12. I know the math that's gonna help me count my check and make sure my bank account is balanced. I don't need fractions and percentages and stuff. I don't need all that. I don't wanna know all that. So I'm frustrated trying to run from math. And the school, with me failing, all they do is push math on me harder. And they begin to tutor me through math. Well, let's look at how God does that. Our Christ-like character is like that OGT test. Many of us can graduate into Christ. We know him. We know his word. We know how to do church. We know how to carry a title. We know how to be a leader. You're graduate ready. You're ready to graduate in Christ-like character, but there's some OGT tests in your life. And each test goes to a particular subject or issue. So some of us, we can pass the pride test or the lust test, but when it comes to the attitude test, I may struggle with that. Some of us struggle with the pride test, the lust test. Whatever your one test is that you struggle with, you don't get to graduate until you pass all of those. That's true Christ-like character.
So for those that think we can carry 100% of Christ-like character but not deal with the subject that we keep failing, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, just like the school did, when we struggle in a subject, the first thing we want to do, I don't want to deal with it. If I got a bad attitude, I don't want to talk about it. What God do, put bad people in front of you, and He tutors you. God tutors you with circumstances and situations. I can tell what area of my life I'm struggling in by what God continues to allow to happen in my life. Mm-hmm. If I'm struggling with patience, God will make me wait and wait and wait until I get a great score on that subject. You got me?
Yes.
Okay, that should help us right there. But understand, God's not going to let up on the circumstance that you're trying to get past. He's just going to continue to tutor you with it. And give it to you, and give it to you, and give it to you till you just frustrated, but you will learn it, and you will pass to have true Christ-like character. Now let's talk about Elijah. I'm going to look at two parts of Elijah. You don't have to turn. I'm going to look at two parts of Elijah. One is Elijah on the mountaintop. And in chapter 18, before we get to 19, Elijah was... as he called it, the only prophet left of God. And God first used him to raise a widow's son from the dead. Y'all remember that? Raised him from the dead. Great victory. Secondly, he used him to fight against 450 prophets of Baal, which is an idol. So he went against 450 men and won by him lonesome. By him lonesome. Now let's look at the beginning of chapter 19. If you still have your Bibles open, I'm going to read for a second. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and with how he had slain all the prophets with a sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." Basically, he put a hit out on him, telling him he was going to kill him. And when he saw that, and when Elijah saw it or heard it, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, came, sat down under a juniper tree, and get this, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." How do you go from the mountaintop to the valley in a split second? Isn't that like us as Christians? Mm-hmm. 1 minute, we on top, feeling great. I love talking to people throughout the week. You know, you get the happy-go-lucky person. Everything great. They all happy-go-lucky and chipper and mad at you because you won't cheer up. And then as soon as life switch on them, they reel down and you can't tell them to cheer up. They don't want to be told to cheer up. We go from the mountain to the valley. Now, what we have to understand as Christians, the enemy in this case just used one person. He tried 450, it didn't work. He used one person or one thing to take him from the mountain to the valley. What is that one button the enemy can push in your life that takes you from the mountain to the valley? For some of us, we on the mountaintop until the enemy hits our family, then we fall to the valley. We on the mountaintop until he hits our finances, then we fall to the valley. Or we're on the mountaintop and he hits our health and we fall to the valley. We go from mountaintop to valley low. But if you look at the mountaintop, what knocked him off the mountain shouldn't have fazed him. One person threatening his life is not worse than 450.
Right.
It was just, I don't know, maybe him and Jezebel had history, maybe he was the bully on the block, I don't know, but he just intimidated him into a fall into the valley. So now let's look. Let's look at verse 11. And he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord." He is the angel talking to Elijah. "And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind after the wind, the earthquake. The Lord was not in the earthquake after the earthquake, the fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice." Don't we quote that wrong? We always say small, still voice. "A still, small voice." When the Lord becomes more prevalent in your life, things start to happen. Well, nobody ever want to hear that. Because we teach Christians, as pastors and churches, run to the Lord. And when you get there, some stuff might happen. We leave that part out. So everybody run into the Lord, and when stuff happened, they like, I can't take this no more, and they walk away. Well, we have to understand, the Bible said the Lord was not in the stuff. Wasn't in the wind, wasn't in the earthquake, wasn't in the fire, but the stuff was still needed. He wasn't in the stuff, but the stuff was still needed. All right? Y'all not saying nothing, y'all. Y'all messing with me. Y'all messing with me. All right, here we go. Last something. Shout hallelujah. It says the Lord was not in the stuff, but we have to see that the stuff was still needed. So let's look at why. So I'm going to relate this to us. And remember, you said the oath at the beginning. So you have to apply this to your life. You already said it.
So you have to apply it to your life.
The wind. The wind, or what we call storms. The wind came, broke into pieces the rocks. There are things, whether we too sanctified to admit it or not, there are things on our life that God does not want on our life. The wind comes and broke. Now, Elijah's standing on the mountain, which in my spiritual imagination is the rocks, and the rocks broke into pieces. That's a symbol of God. Y'all been there before, where God just breaks you and there's nothing left. God breaks us because there's things in our life that are solid, which means they don't move, that God does not want to be a part of us. Remember, His presence is here. His presence came, the wind came, breaks things, okay? So y'all understand the break. Everybody here can understand the break. Now let's look at the earthquake. The earthquake, as we saw in Japan, and we see every earthquake we watch on TV, the earthquake shakes stuff, right? Shaking things causes them to fall. So God sends the break to break things in your life, and then He shakes you. So those things that are broken will fall off. Because let me tell you what we do as Christians. If God breaks us and He doesn't shake us, what was broken, we'll put back together. If I got a bad attitude and God breaks that and He don't shake it off of me, I'm going to put that attitude back together because that's my comfort place.
Yeah.
That's what makes me comfortable. So many times that I need y'all to understand that there is a natural side to us, and your natural side desires to have comfort. You like to sleep in a good bed. You like to have a warm night shower. You like comfortable things. The natural man loves comfort. So when He shakes us, it's to take the things that He broke and shake us so those things fall off. Now, if we don't get through the breaking and the shaking, we can't get to the fire. The fire for us, even though it sounds the worst, is the best thing for our life.
Yeah.
The Bible refers to us as what? Gold and silver. And He says He will purify us as gold. Now, there's two things I want you to catch about the fire. Do y'all understand the breaking and the shaking?
Yeah.
Y'all get that, the breaking and the shaking?
Yeah.
Now, as I'm talking, there should be things going in your mind. Like, okay, Lord, I see you keep breaking me in that place. I'm going to let you shake me. What happens most of the time, let me explain this. God breaks us because His presence is with us. That's when all this stuff happens, right?
Yeah.
So He breaks us. Most of us, when we get broke, we run. I'm getting as far away from the Lord so I can put myself back together. You get me? Now, to stay with the Lord and He starts shaking your life, I don't know if you ever had the Lord shake your life, but mindsets change, friends change,
yes.
You know, a lot of things about you, you'd be like, I used to do this, but I don't do that no more. That stuff changes. A lot of us, when we get into shaking, like an earthquake, you get scared, everything's shaking, you're trying to catch yourself, and you're like, this is too much, I'm leaving. We run from the Lord. But all we do is say, I want the Lord, come back, have to get broke again, and shook again. Most Christians stay in that cycle and never get to the fire. They stay in the cycle of getting broke and shook. Most people get broke and they're gone. When they come back, they get broke, they're gone. When they come back, they get broke. Some of us stay around for some shaking. The shaking is not comfortable. Stuff falls off. You didn't want to fall off. Stuff falls and breaks that you've been attached to your whole life. Like, I liked that prideful part of me. I liked that attitude. I liked that friend. I liked that environment. But shake. So stop running from the presence, because these things you'll always have to go through, okay?
Man.
Now, the fire is what is probably the best thing for us as Christian. It purges us. You know, it purges us of things that are finally ready to go. I wrote down something. I want to make sure I read it right. Okay. To purify is to remove impurities. So fire purifies gold. I don't know if you've ever seen when it starts to make gold, it got all these flakes on it, all this stuff that doesn't make it pure, doesn't make it perfect. I mean, you ever seen a solid gold brick? It's so beautiful, it's worth so much money, it's just beautiful. That's how God is trying to refine us. So he sticks us in the fire to burn off the impurities in our life. The fire is the greatest place to be. It's not as uncomfortable as the breaking or the earthquake or the shaking. Most of us need to make it through that. So we can get through that to get through the fire so he can make us pure. Now he removes all the impurities, but this is the part I love. Fire increases the concentrate of gold. So it increases the substance of what gold is. Y'all didn't catch it. So when we go through the fire, it increases Christ in our life. It makes Christ the fullness of who we are. Now our Christ-like character is at its fullest, and it leads our direction in the ways that we should go.
Amen.
Y'all get that part?
Yeah.
That's good. So I'm done. You can breathe. So understand that the breaking, the shaking, and the fire is not meant to hurt you. It's meant to better you in Christ. Most of us, as soon as we get broke, the enemy start pointing the finger. Look at you. You all broke down. God didn't forsaken you. No, God is trying to get me to the place that he desires me to be.
Yeah.
But we listen to the enemy use our circumstances and our situations to make us feel forsaken and forgotten,
yeah,
which we are not. The storm is not meant to hurt you,
yeah,
but it's needed sometimes for us to hear the voice.
Yes.
Sometimes you can't hear God until he breaks. Some of us need to be shaken and be all the way through the fire before we hear God. What do you do? What do you do when God says to you, I'm not going to speak until after the storm? What do you do? So many of us are so spoiled, as soon as the storm hit, we want to hear from God. God, I don't know why this is happening in my life. Tell me something. And God says, that's what he did to Elijah. I'm not going to speak until after the storm is over. What do you do when God says that to you? You stand in your righteousness. You have to go through the storm. Bible says when you've done all you can do to stand, just stand. And know that you're not forsaken. That's why it's a faith walk.
Yeah.
We got to stand, because sometimes God is going to say, what I need to tell you, you can't hear until you come out the fire. So something God is trying to tell you, you got to go through the whole process just to hear that one thing. And I'm speaking from a place of walking through that in my own life.
Amen.
Where you go through the wind and the breaking and the earthquake and the shaking. And I think I ran from the shaking for years. Shaking don't feel good. Mm-hmm. But the fire, that fireplace is God reveals so much about your life to yourself.
Yeah.
And he can speak to you in a way. God don't even gonna shout. He gonna talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
Still small voice.
Yes.
So understand the storms in your life. God wouldn't let them happen if they were just to hurt you. They are to get us to the place to have the fullness of Christ's character. Now, your challenge for this week is an easy one. Challenge for the week. My challenge is find out what, remember we talked about the OGT test back, that's what it was called back when I was in high school, OGT. And you got to pass all sections to pass high school. What section of Christ's character are you not passing that's stopping you from getting your diploma in Christ-like character? What section? I need you to find that section. Because when you find that section, you'll start understanding your winds, earthquakes, and fires. So find a section that's keeping you from having the fullness of Christ-like character. For some of us, it's just submission. I'm too prideful to submit to you every area of my life. I give you a couple. I am here every year. Some of us is like that. Find out what section is stopping you. The last, if God says, I will not forsake the righteous, don't you think he would spend your life getting you to be righteous?
Yes.
If he knows once you're righteous, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. So we just gotta go into the righteous place, having full Christ-like character, okay?
Amen.
All right, let's pray. Father, we love you and praise you. We thank you. Now, Lord, we said the oath at the beginning. I just pray that, Lord, we can apply the word to our life. Allow us to see our winds, our earthquakes, our fires. Allow us to understand the more that your presence is in our life, the more you're gonna get us right. Help us find the area of our life that we keep failing in Christ-like character. But Lord, we trust that the righteous is not forsaken. And we are the righteousness of you, Lord. So we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Come on, everyone.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It is offering time.
Amen.
Here at the Lost
and Found. Amen. Gloria.
If you don't know, there are three ways you can sow into this ministry. Your tithes and offering is one, pastoral seed, which goes directly to our pastor, and a ministry called Beautiful Flowers. It's a ministry that has linked up with the Lost and Found, and we go out and take care of the needs of God's people. And I say God's people because at the beginning, we focused on the homeless. But we found that so many of God's people
All right.
need help. So we're a ministry that helps God's people when they're in need.